As Victorian leaders battle to set the agenda, we ask, what aren't they talking about? This is Matters of State, a collaboration between ABC News and ABC Radio Melbourne. We'll take a deep dive into the decisions that will shape Melbourne's future as it hurtles towards becoming Australia's biggest city, and ask the big questions that so far haven't been answered. The ABC's Jess Longbottom has been taking a look.
8 million people. That's the size of London, New York, and in 30 years, it will be Melbourne. It's hard to wrap your head around.
Melbourne at the moment has been transformed within the space of a generation. Here is a city that's now adding 125,000 people per year. 25 years ago, it was adding 11,000 people per year.
This is demographer Bernard Salt.
It is now the fastest growing city on the Australian continent. It's just past the 5 million mark. By the middle of the century, it will have 8 million people. This is quite a transformation within a single generation.
It'll be the biggest city in Australia and one of the biggest cities in the developed world. But given the city's trains are already packed to capacity, schools are running out of space, and hospitals are under pressure, is Melbourne ready? In Melbourne's fastest growing area, communities are already feeling the squeeze. I find Larry Jarrett and his three boys at one of the playgrounds that have sprung up at the new housing developments in the city's west.
I'm talking on this. What would you like to know?
His youngest, Kane, is especially taken with our recording equipment.
Now, the only way we just do this.
Melton used to be a regional town. Now it's considered an outer suburb of Melbourne. Cranes and bulldozers are making way for the next houses in the paddocks, literally metres from where Larry's children play. In the 6 years he's lived here, he's noticed the difference extra people have made.
Oh, in the mornings it's not too bad. It's about half an hour to get to work from here to Laverton, but on the way home the traffic's just built up so much. It's stop-start situation for probably two-thirds of the trip, and yeah, it can take an hour plus sometimes. It has taken me up to an hour and a half just to do a half-hour trip.
There's already thousands of houses here in this estate known as Atherston, and they look like your standard kit homes. Brick exterior, double garages. They really have that samey feel. You look out one way and you see this sea of houses, and then the other way there's empty paddocks where more houses are going to be built. Right next to the playground, behind some cyclone fencing, there are cranes and dump trucks preparing the site for the latest houses to go up.
You know, Atherston has been here for a few years now and will be probably around 20,000 people in the next few years.
Bronwyn Clark is from the National Growth Areas Alliance.
Further down that way at Mount Atkinson, there'll be another 22,000 people. Over in that direction at Plumpton, there'll be around 25,000.
Wow.
So the city of Melton will be massive within the next 15, 20 years.
Are there the facilities to keep pace with that growth?
Well, no. At the moment already, the city of Melton is around 150,000 people. So it's grown by 61% in the last 10 years, and there's no hospital. So it's bigger than Ballarat, bigger than Bendigo. And, you know, you just can't imagine those cities without a hospital.
So I'm walking a bit further down the road now, and there's these big billboards saying new school site here and new childcare centre. So it seems they are thinking about amenities for the new residents, and Bronwyn's pointed out a spot to me where the council thinks any new hospital should go. So that's heartening, you've got to say. It seems like they are planning for this.
Problem is, as I later find out, local councils are setting aside the land, but in many cases the state government hasn't set aside the money to actually build the facilities. So, what will an elected state government do about it? For the past few years, the Coalition has been trying to make this election about population, saying people need to be encouraged to leave Melbourne and move to the regions. It wants to create a population commission to manage growth and build super-fast regional rail links to make it more realistic for people to live in the country and commute to the city for work.
All aboard.
Here's the Liberal Party leader, Matthew Guy.
What I want is for Victoria to have a European-style high-speed rail network to match the out-of-control population growth that we've got.
Demographer Bernard Salt says it has some merits.
I'm all for encouraging decentralisation. Certainly Ballarat, Geelong, Bendigo, the Latrobe Valley would benefit from and would certainly want stronger levels of population growth, I would have thought. But you can't shuffle off 120,000 people that would normally grow into Melbourne into the regions, even if Ballarat's rate of growth doubled from 3,000 people to 6,000 people, the same with Geelong. That's not really going to make a dent in the 125,000 per year that's being added to Melbourne. You need a two-pronged solution. That is, yes, encourage Victorians to move increasingly to strong regional centres, but you also need to address the issue of fluidity, affordability and job access in the major city.
The Coalition still has plans to improve Melbourne's infrastructure, but it's certainly where the Labor Party's attention is squarely focused. It won't attempt to limit Melbourne's growth. Instead, it's aiming to make a bigger Melbourne work.
It will take time to build. It will take a lot of money.
That's the Victorian Premier, Daniel Andrews.
But the real question here is, what's the cost if we don't deliver this? A congested city that just doesn't function.
The centrepiece of its campaign so far, an ambitious $50 billion suburban rail loop right around the city's middle ring, from Cheltenham to Werribee, that will take 30 years to complete.
This is about connecting universities and TAFEs and hospitals and employment precincts.
The Grattan Institute's Marion Terrell, however, is sceptical.
The reality is that heavy rail works when you've got a lot of people going to one place. Now, the outer suburban rail loop, they're saying it's $50 billion, so that's $10,000 for every man, woman and child in Melbourne. And the cost of that is that we don't get other things that we need today, but more small-scale, nimble public transport that reflects the reality that small numbers of people are going to dispersed locations would be a better solution to the city as it really is.
What is clear is that Victoria has been dragging its heels for more than a decade. Back to Bernard Salt.
Over the last 10 years, the sheer volume of money that has been spent on infrastructure in Victoria is about half that that has been spent on infrastructure in New South Wales. Now, to some extent, New South Wales is a bigger state. There's 8 million people, and it is physically bigger. So you need more roads and bridges out in the regional areas. But even so, for New South Wales to be spending double the amount that the Victorians are actually spending on infrastructure would suggest that, to my mind, I think the 2020s is when Melbourne's going to cut loose.
I'm Batman from the ABC.
For Larry Jarrod, he's not really worried about population growth. In fact, he welcomes it. He just wants the facilities in place so that his community continues to be an enjoyable place to live.
The more the merrier, really. Yeah, it's a thriving community. It's a good thing. Yeah.
That was Jessica Longbottom, and this is Matters of State, a co-production between ABC News and ABC Radio Melbourne. And you can listen to the Matters of State series every Monday morning when it drops on the AM podcast feed. And for more coverage on the Victorian state election, just go to abc.net.au/elections.